Thank you so much. My sister was blind, and she's gone on to be with the Lord now, but she played in a blind bell choir, and that brings back precious memories for me, and watching her and the folks that she served with in that way, and what a beautiful sound and worship. There's a lot of things today that are a lot of different types of worship today, or different types of songs, but that there's nothing more beautiful than that. I appreciate you being here tonight. It's great to see everyone. I'm kind of shook up. I'm not Elvis, but I'm kind of shook up, I'll just tell you. I walked out my door tonight, headed this way, and I was greeted by a huge skunk. And I just knew he was going to get me before I could get back in the house. And then we have a big German Shepherd dog, and I just knew that my dog was going to get covered up with it. But anyway, we both survived and got through that. But it's funny how something will mess your nerves up for a little bit there. Back in the early summer, we live in the country, and the road that goes in is, I don't know, 100 yards or so long, and then back around to the driveway into the house, and it's a gravel road. And we came in off the main highway, and there we saw a skunk, and then another skunk, and then I looked over, and there were five about half-grown skunks. They were there, and so we just stopped, and our granddaughter's with us, and she was just delighted to see all this. And I thought, you know, they're going to run away from my car, but no, they ran to my car. So we're backing out the driveway. We're trying to get away from those things. And it took a while for them to allow me into my house that night, but they did. I got one of them that night, and I got another one tonight, so we're thinning them out, but it's a slow go. That's what I asked Justin first thing. I said, do I stink? Because I didn't know, I didn't know if it had got on me or not. Well, it's been a real blessing being able to be with you and to share these few days with you, and to get to know you a little bit. I hope when you see me, you'll tell me your name. Hair's not the only thing that's left my head, my memory is terrible. I know your face, but it just doesn't stick anymore like it used to. But it's been a real privilege for me to be able to share these few days with you, and I hope I haven't worn you out. I've never, until just recently, stayed with the same theme in a revival message, a series of revival messages. But I really felt impressed of the Lord about this and some time back, and so I've gone forward with that. But we've been looking at how to be an effective witness for Christ, how to lead other people to Him. And there are several things we've not talked about. There's so much more. I think there were 17 messages in this series when I preached at Mountain View. And so I've done a lot of condensing and changing, and it's never the same. Every time I preach it, I feel like the Lord directs me a little bit different. But one of the most important things in being able to share the gospel is knowing the gospel message. And some people, again, are just afraid of what they're going to say, or they're going to say the wrong thing or mess up. And one of the questions, could you explain tonight to someone how to be saved and what they need to do to be saved? And it's not difficult, but if you've never done it, it could be overwhelming to think about. And one of the things I recommend, and I they make shirts with no pockets anymore. I don't know why they do that, but I always carry gospel tracts with me. If I don't have a chance to talk to a person, I can at least give them the tract and ask them to read it and to share that with them. But one that I use often is the four spiritual laws, and I don't have one with me now, but I do have some in the car. But if you're not real certain about what to say, if you'll take that track and or one like that and read it every day, just read through it, and it won't take you 5 minutes to do that. But after a week or so, it'll be in your system. It'll be in your heart and your mind and your spirit. And, and God can use you if you're prepared to be able to share. Brother Justin, I know, will be glad to help you to get one. But you've got to know the gospel message. You've got to, secondly, care about people enough to make the effort. We looked at Jesus, how he was moved with compassion when he looked out at people. And our hearts need to break for lost people. We'll never be motivated to witness unless they are. And then thirdly, our life testimony needs to match our words. And we looked at that a little bit this week. None of us are perfect, but we need to have a sincere love for Christ, a sincere love for people, and our attitude is so important. It's a shame that a lot of times people who claim to know Christ or Christians, they're not joy-filled, and they're not grateful, they're not thankful, and they're card-carrying members of the Grunt and Grumble Club. You know what I'm talking about? Every time you get around them, they're grunting and grumbling about something. Listen, people with that kind of attitude never lead anybody to Christ. You get around somebody like that, a lost person, they think, you know what? I don't know what it is they've got, but I sure want it. No, they don't want it, and I don't want it, but sometimes I get caught up in it. But our attitude is so important, and an attitude of gratefulness to God for what he has done for us and what he is doing for us. Tonight, what I want to, in our final time together, I want to focus on the passages that talk about sowing and reaping. And most of us have grown up in the country or on the farm or at least had a garden or been around it. We know a little bit about that. But the passages, and there are several of them that we're going to look at beginning in Galatians tonight. Just going to touch base on a few of them and then really bear down on one in Luke. But in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. Before we read that, the truth is that I hope you see the promise is that if you will faithfully share the gospel, if you will faithfully talk to people about Jesus, there will be some people who will come to know Christ. There'll be some people who'll be saved. And if you'll just faithfully share the gospel, you will see people come to know the Lord. Let's pray together before we look at God's word. Father, we love you and we thank you so much for your great love for us and Lord, for the time you've given us together again. Thank you for what we've already experienced tonight in a time of worship and praise to you and our words of gratitude to you. Father, help us tonight. Your spirit be our teacher and move us, Lord, to the place where we need to be. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Principles of sowing and reaping. Now, we're in Galatians 6 and verse 7. The Bible says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not." Now, there are two principles I want you to see here. Really, the immediate context of this is not about witnessing, but it's about sowing to our flesh or sowing to the Spirit. But the principle, first principle I want you to see is just very simple. You reap what you sow. We know that. We talk about that. We tell other people that. We told our children that several times probably. But in the world of agriculture, if you plant corn, don't expect to go pick beans when it's harvest time. If you plant corn, you're going to be harvesting corn. But you reap what you sow, good or bad. If you sow to your flesh, and the flesh is a self-ruled life, if you sow to that, you're going to reap corruption, is what it says here in verse 8. And that is, you'll reap things that perish. You will waste your life. Your life will not matter. It will not have value if you sow to the flesh. On the other hand, if you sow to the Spirit, a Christ-ruled life, you'll reap life everlasting. There will be things that will be eternal that will come out of your life. So the first principle is you reap what you sow. And the second principle here is we see in verse 9 is that sowing or reaping actually requires patience. We don't plant our garden and the next day go out and pick beans and corn and tomatoes and those kind of things. It takes time. It takes time for the seed to germinate and to sprout and to grow and develop, etc. And here he says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. When you think about witnessing, don't grow weary. Continue to share the gospel. Continue to talk to people about Christ. Continue to help other people seek to know about how good God has been to you. And don't give up. Don't faint. Don't grow weary. And if you'll do that, a day will come where you will reap and you will see the harvest come. A third principle is found back just a few pages in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 is another passage where the Apostle Paul uses the illustration of sowing and reaping to teach biblical principles. And here, the immediate context is giving and our giving of our tithes and offerings to the Lord. He says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." In other words, you reap according to the measure that you've sown. Now, we understand that. Sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. You sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. And again, the immediate context here is giving of our tithes and our offerings to the Lord. And there's the blessings. The more we give, the more blessings that we will be enabling others to have and the work of the Lord, etc. But to put it in agriculture sense, if I plant 1 acre of corn, and Brother Justin plants 50 acres of corn, and all things being equal, the same good soil, the same amount of rainfall, etc., who's going to harvest the most corn when it comes harvest time? It's obvious. Brother Justin will. You reap according to the measure that you've sown. So you reap what you've sowed. Reaping requires great patience. You reap according to the measure that you've sown. Well, what about sharing the gospel? Well, again, we reap according to the measure that we have sown. And sowing the seeds of the gospel, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, we've looked at that passage, that the harvest is plentiful. There are many, many people that are lost and are without Christ and who need to hear the message of salvation. Someone has to tell them how. But the more we sow, the more we shall reap. And that is, again, a principle of the harvest. One other principle before we come to the passage that really is my focus tonight, turn back to Psalms 126. Here in this passage, it talks about our heart, and it's the heart, same heart that Christ had as he looked at the multitudes, the masses of humanity. Psalms 126 and verse 5 and 6, a very familiar passage. There's an old hymn written about this. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy, verse 5. And he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. In other words, there's going to be a great harvest. Now, there's applications, different applications you can make here, but the bottom line is we need to have a broken heart for lost people, and as we witness to them and as we share Christ to them, we have a burden for their heart, and like Jesus, sowers need to have a broken heart for the lost. And if we do, there's a promise that one day we're going to come with a harvest. We're going to come with a harvest. And I tell you, that's we need that word. We need that promise of God. We need to stand on that. We need to believe it and go forward. So four principles from these passages. You reap what you've sown, either good or bad. Reaping requires much time and patience. You reap according to the measure that you've sown. And sowers of the gospel seed need to have a broken heart for the lost in order to really be a laborer in the harvest the way God would have us to be. Now, the passage I want to focus on tonight, however, about sowing and reaping is in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, where Jesus, again, used this principle of sowing and reaping to share about the different ways people respond to the gospel. And I hope tonight that you can visualize or see different people and how they have responded in the past as you've shared the gospel or as the gospel's been shared with them. And you can see your own heart. But this parable, Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 4. When much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. He told them a story. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden, down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And others fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Now, I want to just stop there and look at these four different types of soil in the natural world that we see and seek to understand exactly what Jesus was saying. The first type of seed in verse 5, he said, some fell by the wayside. Now, the wayside was talking about pathways or roads. In their fields in the first century, and there where they grew their crops, there would be paths between the fields. There would be roadways, if you will, between the fields to get from one field to another. And where the people walked or where they pulled their wagon or their animals from one place to another in between the fields, that ground would become very hard packed. It was not worked up. It was not plowed up, if you will. It was hard packed ground where the footpaths were. And so when the seed fell on it, the seed didn't penetrate into soft, plowed up soil. It remained on the top on that hard packed ground. And the birds could easily come by, swoop down, and pick up that seed. It was very easy for them to gather up. And so Jesus said, the sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. It was trodden down. The fowls of the air devoured it. They came by and swooped it up, ate it up very easily. But then he talked about another type of soil, and that was upon a rock. And up above where we live at Oak Grove Baptist Church, some of you may be familiar with that area, but there's an area there where the rock is very close to the ground. The granite is very close to the ground. Matter of fact, just up the road there's an old rock quarry. But there's just a little bit of dirt on top of that. Now that little bit of dirt on top of that rock is fertile. It'll grow grass and different things so long as it's getting a lot of rain and stuff. But what happens is you'll see a good rain come through, you'll see it turn green, but then and soon after it'll dry up and die because there's no depth there. And the sun bearing down and that rock underneath and what little soil is there, even though the seeds will germinate for a little while, they will not last because the lack of depth, the lack of moisture, it will dry out quickly. It's very shallow soil. And so here we see in verse 6, he said, some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And then he talks about a third type of seed. So there was no fruit harvested there either, not on the wayside, but not on that where the rock face was up close to the ground. There was nothing harvested there. There was the hard-packed soil. There was the very shallow soil on the rock face. And then thirdly, we see a soil in verse 7 that was consumed by the thorns. And he said, some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it. They grew up with it and choked it out. And so there was no harvest there either, as the thorns choked out the good seed. The fourth soil in verse 8 was what he refers to as good ground. Other fell on good ground, and it sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. So there was a harvest there. Four different types of soil. The seed fell in four different places, but only one of them really bore fruit. And so then he explains how this relates to the sharing of the gospel. If you look on down in verse, the disciples ask in verse 9, what might this parable be? Explain this to us. What do you mean by this? In verse 11, he says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. And those by the wayside are they that hear, and then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, they receive the word with joy. And these have no root, for which for a while believe, and in a time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. Well, the explanation of the parable, the wayside soul, the hard-packed soul, there are people with very hard hearts. You share the gospel with them, you try to talk to them about Jesus, and their hearts are hard. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to receive it. Maybe they're bitter about something that's happened in their life. Maybe they've been offended in years past. Maybe they're just too proud, and they, you know, I've got it all together. I don't need this. You know, I had a man tell me years ago that religion was just a crutch and for weak people. And I'm going to tell you, I'm a weak person, and I need Jesus. There's no doubt about it. But that was his rejection. And that man, as far as I know, when he died, he had never received Christ. And it breaks my heart to think that he had such opportunities through his life. But because of his pride, because he was a self-made man. I mean, he quit school young, but had worked hard and had a great business, but didn't want anything to do with the Lord or anything to do with the Word of God. He was hard-hearted, and the soul of his heart was hard-packed. And so the devil could easily come and snatch the Word away where he would not be hearing. Well, then there's a second type of person, and that is in verse 13, the rock. They that are on the rock, when they hear, they receive the word with joy, but these have no root, and that is because the soul is so shallow. They for a while believe, and in time of temptation or trials or whatever, they fall away. The rock, as we saw, it had very shallow soil, and so the seed would sprout, but it wouldn't last. There are people that are very shallow. They're just very shallow, and they quickly fall away. They have a lack of depth in their life. You might want to say they've never grown up. And they are living for things that are so temporal that really don't matter. Then there's the third type of soul. That type of soul is that which fell among, or the seed that fell among the thorns. It got choked out. They were distracted. They get distracted. If you look in verse 14, he said, they are that which fell among the thorns, or they, when they have heard, they go forth and are choked with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life. In other words, they're distracted. Their problems, their pursuit of riches, their pursuit of pleasure, their pursuit of their business. Their life is all about what is temporal versus that which is eternal. You know, we live in a time of great affluence. It's absolutely amazing what is happening in our economy and what is happening in businesses across our nation. The jobless rate is down, and people are making money, and some people in ways they've never made before. And it's beyond my ability to relate to. I can't imagine where some people are today. But the thing about it is, what with this affluence has come for many, the pursuit of pleasure. We have people in our church, you know, when I grew up, we went on vacation 1 week a year. And I was tickled to death to do that. But once a year, we would go to the beach, and that was an annual thing. Then later on, you know, we maybe a couple times a year, two different times a year, we would do something as a family. Well, now it is not unusual for families to take the entire summer off or to go on vacation year round. And we have some really good people in our church that are there maybe once a month because they're traveling, they're visiting, God has blessed them with this incredible wealth, and they're using it to entertain themselves. And going here and going there, but they're not about the things of the Lord, and because of their love for the cares of this world, the riches of this world, the pleasures of this world. So we see three different types of responses to the gospel where the person doesn't receive Christ and where there is no fruit born. There is the hard-hearted person, the bitter person, the shallow-hearted person. Sometimes we might call them fad chasers. They're immature. There's just no depth there. They're not ready yet. And the person that is distracted, they're so caught up in all of the things of this world that they hear the word of God. They're not against it. They're not antichrist or anything like that. They're just busy, and they're just focused on other things and don't see the urgency of the hour. They don't see how necessary it is to live for the Lord, to love the Lord, to honor Him with your life and with all that you are. But then there's a fourth soul, and that is, verse 15, the good ground. But on that good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience, with endurance, with long endurance. The good ground becomes followers of Christ. They're a person who hears the word of God, they believe the word of God, they put their faith in Him, and they begin to follow Him and bear fruit for Jesus. The point is this, of all that's being said, you must sow the seed. You must sow the seed to find the receptive heart. Yet, not everybody's going to receive Christ. Not everybody wants to hear. Not everybody is able to understand. Many are very distracted. Some are just opposed. But as you share the gospel, as you love people in Jesus' name, as you talk to people about Jesus, you will come on to that good soul, to a person who is ready, that God by His Spirit has prepared their heart, and they will say yes to Jesus and give their life to Him. Not everybody you witness to will receive Christ, but some will. But if you sow the seed of the gospel, there will be people that will be saved and become followers of Christ. I was at a prayer breakfast. Dr. Ben Shelton, some of you men, y'all may know him. He owns a Rocky Creek Dairy down near Turnersburg, all 21 South. But he hosted a prayer breakfast. He's a very committed Christian. And at that prayer breakfast, he had an old dairyman from Hiddenite come, and he was the guest speaker that morning. And he was an older man, and he got up, and this was, the purpose of this was a prayer breakfast and of men, and he started talking about planting corn. And he talked about planting corn, and he talked about planting corn. He had been planting corn for 50 years. And he talked about, one of the things he talked about was the conditions that were necessary for the planting of corn. The temperature had to be just right. The soil texture needed to be a certain way. The moisture content in the soil needed to be at a certain place. The pH balance, the proper fertilization. He went on, and I'm sitting here trying to figure out what in the world has this got to do with prayer and what we're here for. He went on, and then he stopped and he asked a question. He said, in over 50 years, how many years was everything just right to plant? I didn't have any idea. And he said, zero. In all my 50 years, all of these things I've told you that are necessary to have a good harvest of corn, not one single year was all of these things just exactly right with the way they needed to be. Then he went on and said this, but I kept planting corn. I kept planting corn. And he said, you know what? Every year, these 50 years, every year, I've harvested corn. And then he transitioned to prayer. And beyond that, to evangelism and reaching, he said, you know, the point I'm trying to make to you men is this, keep on praying. And keep on talking to people about Jesus. And some of them will commit their life to the Lord and follow the Lord. Some won't. But some of them will. Don't give up. Keep on praying. Keep on talking to people about Jesus. And that's the word of Galatians 6:9 that we looked at in the beginning. Galatians 6:9 tells us not to grow weary, not to give up, not to quit, but to continue on, to be faithful. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. In due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now that's true for me, for you, for your church, for Mountain View, and for every other church that is trying to honor the Lord and to live for Him. In due season we'll reap if we faint not. That is, if we don't give up. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. I know that you're in a difficult place in some ways. You have a beautiful building. You have a beautiful facilities. God's called, brought a pastor here that loves the Lord and stands on God's word. And you have been faithful. And I want to encourage you, keep on being faithful. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't stop. Don't get hard-hearted. But continue to do the work of the Lord and continue to seek Him with all his heart, because He's the only one that can change hearts. He's the only one that can bring people. He uses us, works through us, but He's the only one that can really cause a person to want to be saved, to want to grow as a Christian, to want to be a part of a church, and to do the Lord's work. Don't give up. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Tonight, again, I just want to encourage you, if you're not actively doing this, and most Christians aren't, if you're not actively seeking to talk to people about Jesus, would you make that commitment tonight? Would you pray and ask God to help you to talk to people about Jesus, to share the message of the gospel? It's never going to be easy, and the conditions will never be just right, I can promise you. But if you're faithful to follow the Lord and to step out in faith and to talk to people, there will be people that will be saved. And there will be people that will come to your church, and things can grow. And how wonderful it would be to see this building filled up. How wonderful it would be to see this building filled with these precious little children and teenagers again. And the work of the Lord going forth under the uttermost parts of the world. I know that's the heart of your pastor. I know that's what he desires. I believe it's what you desire. But I just, again, I want to encourage you, don't grow weary in well-doing. Tonight, if there possibly is someone here that you don't know Christ, you've never called on Him, you've never given your life to Him, Brother Justin would be so honored to do that, to share with you tonight how you can be saved. And I want to ask you, we're going to stand and sing again tonight, time of commitment, a time of invitation. Would you come? Would you talk to Him? Would you allow Him to pray with you and share with you how you can become a Christian tonight and know that you have a home in heaven? Father, we pray in Jesus' name that You'd help us, Lord. You know every heart here. You know exactly where we are and what we're going through and what we've been through. You know every detail about our life. And Father, I thank You that You love us. You care for us greatly. And Father, I pray and thank You that You have a plan for us that is beyond our dreams. It is so good. For those who love You, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and that which has not even entered in the heart of man, all of that You have for those who love You. And so, Father, help us to love You with all our heart. And help us, Lord, to be obedient, to do what You've called us to do. And again, Father, tonight, if there's one here that doesn't know You, tonight, I pray, would be the night they come to know You as their Lord and Savior. And we will all rejoice with them in that decision. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.